go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Oh, everything's good. Of course, we were talking about how it was kind of day we all wanted to play hooky a little bit, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Completely.
Just get out there. Yeah, and enjoy the summer. It was so beautiful. And I always said we're supposed to be doing our 15 minutes a day of something that we want to do. I know you were painting. Have you still been doing some other things for yourself?
Yes,
or are you doing your painting?
No, I'm doing my painting. I've been doing a little bit of drawing. Lisa's grandmother has got some stuff that she wants me to refurbish that belongs to her grandfather. So, yeah, I've been doing stuff.
Good. And are you enjoying it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I said this last week. I mean, did I say it last week? No. Actually,
the little gnome?
Saturday. Well, yeah, I was doing the little gnome. I mean, I'm having fun because, you know, not only am I sitting there doing it, it's multi-level for me because I can never just do one thing. Of course, I always have to multitask. So, I've been enjoying some audiobooks while I'm doing my gnome, you know. So it's kind of cool because, you know, I'm catching up on, some misreading while I'm painting.
Oh, and it's interesting because we were talking about how that's a different skill, listening to audiobooks, actually listening, so that we learn to be better listeners. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that's great that you're doing that. I think, you know, that's what prepared me to do my job, because when I was a children's entertainer, instead of wasting, you know, 40 hours a week in a car traveling, doing nothing, I would listen to all kinds of audiobooks, some very complex things. And I got to be a really good listener and
mm-hmm.
learned a lot. And I didn't mind sitting in the car
yeah.
in traffic or anything, you know. And I used to laugh because one time I was listening to The Laws of Physics. It was a book on that. And then I went to do a clown
mm-hmm.
show, a clown face. And I'm thinking, here I was just listening to The Laws of Physics. And here I'm painting kids' faces. And I thought, kind of a weird world we live in, you know.
But I'd say.
But I would always try to just listen to things and learn. So we can all, like, get a little more information into our heads by doing that and, you know, listening to the audiobooks. And is there a particular genre you like?
I listen to everything. Well, my listening is just like my reading. So what I do is I tend to, when I'm listening, I tend to only listen to books that I've already read, because I don't think it's the same thing, like, you know, to read a book and then to listen to a book. You know, I don't feel that it's the same thing. I think that reading offers you something that listening to audiobooks cannot. Obviously, audiobooks are great for, like people like myself that are constantly on the go, and for people that, you know, have got challenges with their eyesight, but I don't think that audiobooks is a good substitute, in my opinion. You know, that audiobooks is a good substitute for reading, you know, when you could make the time to actually physically read a book. I think that you should. So I tend to gravitate toward things that I've already read or things that I've wanted to read that I wasn't really sure I would be crazy about. So what I did was I got myself a subscription to Audible on Amazon, And I pay for 2 credits a month, and I just keep accumulating, books. So like I've got, I've read The Fountainhead and like Ayn Rand about like 90,000 times. I have those on audio because they're just two of my favorite books. I think that they're incredible. David Sedaris, I'm a huge David Sedaris fan. When we are engulfed in flames is great. Me Talk Pretty One Day is awesome. So I tend to have a lot of David Sedaris books on there. Recently I started reading, which is actually a very good book that I recommend for everybody to read. It's called Factfulness, and the author is Hans Rosling. And it's 10 Reasons Why the World is Not as Bad as You Think It Is. So basically what his whole ideology is that, our brains will automatically self-sabotage us before anything bad has even happened. Our brains will always think the worst before anything bad has happened. So, what he does is he actually debunks a lot of what happens in society today by using statistical information. He's like, look at the math. Stop talking about the developing world. The world is developed, and the more we keep shading these things, the more we're kind of screwing ourselves over as far as what real progress is. So it really, really is a great read. And there's a couple of quizzes in there. And literally he's pointed out that monkeys have done better on some of these quizzes that, picking things at random than scientists and economists have, which I think is absolutely amazing.
Wow. And so that's great. I mean, I love audible books because Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships on it. Yep, is on it. And, we've gotten a lot of listeners for that. So I love that company. It's a very good company. And they have a lot of good books on there, too. And I noticed we get bounty dollars, which means if someone joins Audible because of my book, we get a little bounty dollar. So I noticed a lot of people had joined just to listen to that. So that was always the extra bonus dollars. We're like, oh, wow, I like that.
I'll take it.
Somebody should check into that. Do it. Now, we do have some listeners here. I know that we have someone who pressed, and I do know who that is. That's Alexa, who's called in a few times, and she has some things going on in her love life. So we're going to pick her up. It's the 244.
I hated it when Alexa calls because I can never say her name out loud.
No, me neither, because she just went on here too. Okay? She just started talking.
All of my devices go off when I say
Me too. That's what happened here. She just started talking, okay? So I know it's annoying, isn't it? But sometimes when I do call her name, when I want to ask her what's the weather, what's this, she doesn't hear me. But when I'm not really calling her name, she hears me.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't know. Beginning very human, isn't she?
Yes. Very much so.
All right. So we'll pick her up and we'll let her tell her story and we'll see if we have any good advice for her.
Awesome. Hello, Alexa.
Hi,
you're on the air.
Hello, dear. So we always love to hear from you, and you might want to fill in what's been going on. I know I'll fill in quickly that you had broken up with someone that was a long-term relationship, and he was pretty unfixable, and you were back and forth with him, and that finally ended. And then there was the guy you liked who is sort of a family friend, and is there something going on with that we need to know about?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So I think the first thing that I had filled you in on was that I had run into him at my sister's party in the city, right? I filled you in on that?
Right.
And then the following week I don't know if I had spoken to you, but I was out east and he happened to be out there that weekend. So he had asked me to hang out, but I wasn't able to because my family was over and I just didn't feel like it was a good time to leave. It was like pretty late at night and he was a little bit further out east, so I just didn't think it was good.
Okay.
And then last weekend, we hung out on Friday night, and he happened to be back in the neighborhood where I'm from. He doesn't live here anymore. His parents do. And we ended up hanging out the whole night for like 6 hours, and we had the best night. And now he's starting to say like things here and there. You could tell it's like developing a little bit. And I don't speak to him every day, but I did speak to him yesterday, and it's just been going really nice.
Wow. And so, you know, keep it going, and eventually you're going to have to, you know, figure out where you want this to go.
Right.
You know, you want boyfriend and girlfriend. You know, he thinks you're great, by the way.
Okay.
And, you know, he had that toxic relationship that he needed to end.
I wanted to ask you about that.
And she's still showing up a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think
he's seeing her,
but she may be texting him. Do you know about any of that?
No, I just know that he stopped following her on social media about 2 weeks ago.
Right, and she seems to be, like, you know, trying to stalk him. And, you know, he's trying to just keep it clear from her. This is a very good year of love and peace and happiness for you. I mean, both of you just ended toxic relationships, so there's a little bit of anxiety
mm-hmm.
you both have. Do you find, you know, you have a little bit of anxiety about of new love?
Of
it's
course,
scary.
Yeah, because you don't you don't want to go into the same thing again.
And he's feeling the same way, but and also because you are family friends,
mm-hmm.
he wants to make sure he doesn't start something that, you know, isn't going to end up good, because he wouldn't want any family problem. But this is really promising cards on here. Do you think he's a soulmate? Do you feel a heart connection with him?
Yeah.
How about a soul connection? Is he bringing out the best in you?
Yeah. It's effortless when we hung out the other night, and it was unexpected, you know, and then we didn't even realize where the time went that we hung out the entire, you know, the entire night, that he actually missed his flight because he travels a lot for work. He missed his flight the next morning and he had to book it for later on, but he didn't care, you know, so.
Right. And also, do you feel like a soul connection, like he's bringing out the best in you, like you love the way that you feel? How about the body? Do you have a chemistry with him?
I mean, I think so. We didn't kiss or anything yet. I'm, like, too nervous for any of that. It's so new, you know. We've only hung out, like, 2 times.
Do you feel a chemistry even without kissing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I get nervous, like the butterflies.
Right, and, you know, he feels the same way. This has very real potential here.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's very new, so it started out good, but at what point would you start to say, what are we? You know, what do you want? Would you, you know?
I feel like, well, you know what it is? I feel like the way it's going, it's developing slow but nice. Like, I don't think it's, like, abnormally slow. I think it's a nice slow. We're both, like, trying to figure each other out, and I feel like he may have a little bit of, like you said, anxiety of getting into something new because of what he's been through. But I think that eventually, like, if we keep hanging out like this, it's just going to turn into something, because you can't help the way you feel, you know, it just happens. So if he feels that way, which I think he does, which he's kind of, like, said some things here and there, then I don't see why it wouldn't, you know.
Right, and, you know, it does look like he's a little slow to move it forward as you are, because you've just been both out of a relationship. That's what I see. It's, like, kind of a good pace for both of you. And he looks like a really nice guy here, by the way. And it's really nice because you met him through family members. You didn't just meet him online, so you don't have to wonder, is he an axe murderer? Isn't it feel nice to know?
Yeah, it's so true.
And do your parents know you're seeing him?
Yeah, they're so happy.
Good. And they like him, right?
Well, they do like him. I mean, like, they haven't seen him in a very long time. Like, they haven't seen him since he was a little boy. They only see his parents all the time. But from what they've heard, because there's, like, 6 degrees of separation here. There's, like, so many different ways that we know this family. So there's not one person to say a bad thing about him. Everybody says the same thing about him. So from what they've heard about how he is, they really think that it would be great for me.
Right. And that's really what I see here too. And so, this is, I'm sure, a relief for your parents who couldn't stand your ex, put so much strain on your relationship, you know, with them, with your ex. Have you totally stopped talking to your ex?
Yeah, that is, I don't even, now that, like, this one has come to the forefront, I haven't honestly even thought about the other one.
Hey, good. The good thing to help us forget about a bad relationship is having a new one come on the horizon. Okay.
Absolutely.
And this is perfect timing for you. And for those listeners who don't maybe don't remember who Alexa was, you had called in about this guy and you had this feeling about him before you even really met him, like face, which is interesting, which was just amazing to me. And now that you've met him face to face, it's not like, oh, that was just an illusion. You're starting to feel like, wow, there could be something here. And he looks like a really nice guy. And
do you see it developing into anything?
Well, you know, I got the husband card on it. So there's a potential for this to be like the whole Megillah here. I just hate to say stuff like that so early in on a relationship because you never know who's going to get panicked out and scared. But, but the universe really would expect this to work and be the real thing. And, you know, his parents are happy. I keep getting the fool card, though. You know, you have to be a little bit of a fool to fall in love. You know, it's scary.
Right. So do you think he told his parents? Because I don't know if he told them.
He mentioned something about you to them.
Oh, he did.
That he saw you or ran into you. He kind of played it down a bit.
Okay.
But did mention it. And they seem very excited and very happy about it. So, you know, that looks really good. So keep being you, you know, did you make any plans to see each other again yet?
Well, no, we spoke to each other last night and then he left for work this morning again. So it's not on the everyday basis yet. It's like a few texts throughout the week. And then like, you know, the day of, they'll be like, I'm over here, come by. I mean, eventually he has to ask me out on a date, but I think right now we're just like kind of friendly. Like he'll be with his friends and I come with my friends, and then we end up just us hanging out for the rest of the night.
Right, but eventually you want to just not go in just the friend zone.
Of course.
That's it. Don't keep it just the friend thing too long.
Right.
You know, someone has to make it more, because I know with your generation they do this friend zone thing, and then it doesn't progress to girlfriend or relationship.
But he seems very old school to me. He's very, like that old traditional, and he's very – actually, he's very spiritual.
And that's why he's a perfect match for you, because you've become very spiritual, too, through all this.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit shy near you. Like,
okay.
And so you might be the one who has to drop a few hints that you would want to be more than just friends.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he wants to make sure he doesn't ask you out and that's not what you have in mind.
Yeah, is he afraid that I'm going to reject him?
A little bit. First of all, for our listeners who can't see who Alexa is, Alexa's physically beautiful. She's smart. She's like the whole big package and deal. So, you know, you're a good catch, and he knows it. Okay, he's not so cocky to think. You know how like, you know, your ex and a lot of guys think, oh, you're lucky to go out with me, kind of guys.
Right.
He's not that kind of a guy. He's like, oh my God, is she out of my league? You know, will she want to go out with me? So, don't be afraid to, you know, make a joke or a light of it. So is this what we are, you know, this kind of you call me and we meet kind of thing, or what's going on? You know, don't be afraid to, after in the next few weeks, if it doesn't move forward, like he's asked you out for a real date, you have to ask. I just don't want it to go on forever. As a dating expert, I have to warn women, do not stay in the friend zone too long.
Right.
It becomes then all of a sudden you're just friends and how are you going to move that forward? So, you know, but it looks very good here. I'm not worried about it. Enjoy it. I can't believe it's progressed this much, actually.
I know. My one question is, when we don't speak throughout the week, is he thinking about it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
And I got the soulmate card here.
Right.
Okay, the card that I keep getting is the devil card, which is a fear of a bad relationship or having been hurt in a bad relationship. That shows up for both of you. So, you know, you both have had relationships where it started out good and then it got bad. So he just wants to take it a little slow as you do to see if you're really going to be like the princess that becomes the beast.
Uh-huh.
And he just wants to, signs of that, okay? He hasn't seen any signs of it. And you know, of course, you both know family members. Everybody says you're good people. So, but he's just afraid because he hasn't, Now, with that last girl, he really had no idea what he signed on for with her.
Wow.
And she did appear to be very sweet in the beginning. She was very sweet in the beginning.
And he fell for that.
So he's just taking it a little slow to see where it goes. But it does look like if you guys actually committed to going on a date, a real date where we say it's a date,
right,
it will go very quickly into a relationship from there.
Okay.
But so just see what happens. And I'm so happy for you, and I'm so proud of you that you broke away from your toxic relationship.
Oh my God. I know.
And
I
now
talk
you
to my
can...
mom all the time about it, and I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, when the right one comes, I said, Cindy's coming to my wedding.
And of course I'm coming. You're not kidding. Yeah, of course I'm coming. And it's so funny because at least I know what you look like. I've been to more weddings in the last 2 years with my husband where I've never seen them in person, only phone readings. And it's like, we were at one where there was like three weddings going. And my husband goes, well, which one is it? I go, I don't know what they look like.
Oh, you know? My gosh, that's so funny.
So I said, I'm going to use my psychic ability. I think that's them. And I was right. You know?
Wow.
And
very funny.
So it is funny. And then I know all the people at the wedding, all the family members, but I've never met them. And we do this staring at each other thing, like, because they don't, you know, they know me on the phone. They know me as that voice, but they have to put the two together now. Who is this person? And I have to put their face with their voice together, too. So it's kind of funny. But I will love it because at least I'll know what you look like.
Yes.
I won't mistake
you. You'll know
you.
Everybody. You'll know my sister, my cousin, everybody.
I know that. And I'm so glad that you've repaired your relationship with your parents over this. Because remember, I said, they love you the way you would love your own daughter. And they saw with your ex the potential for him to hurt you and be a bad person. And they couldn't help but be overprotective. Even though it's wrong, because, you know, any of the parents listening out there, sometimes you got to let your kids make a mistake. That's how they're going to learn. And you can't shelter them from everything bad. And you have to be there for them and step back a little bit. I call it benign neglect. You know, you're neglecting them in a benign way. You're keeping your eye on it because, you know, it really could have destroyed your relationship with each other.
And it was a blessing because you know what? It made us stronger in different ways that I didn't even realize. So I'm actually thankful for it. There was a reason for it, and that's it. That's what I have to put it as and just wash my hands of it now.
Great. And your grandmother says she likes this new guy. So, you know, when we get the okay from the other side, we know it's good. I think he has a grandmother who passed away too. It appears there's a grandmother or a great-grandmother on the other side that knows him, and she's confirming, you know, she's happy too. So seems like the dead are happy.
With his grandfather.
Oh, his grandfather's a very nice man too.
Yeah.
And so all of them are rooting for you.
Thank you.
Do us a favor and call in the next few weeks and let us know what happens and especially if it progresses along, because we need more people to like watch someone like you go from a toxic relationship, out of a toxic relationship, back in the toxic, out of the toxic, finally meeting a new soulmate, and showing that we have more than one soulmate, and to have the courage to go forward. And I did do a psychic party this weekend, and I think God really wanted me to be at that party. They were all women under the age of 30, in their late 20s, all married to wonderful men, some of them having babies, all of them owning homes. And I thought, I needed to see like a group of eight women who are in their 20s that actually are married and happy and having homes and moving forward and growing up and being happy. And I was like so blessed to be there, because mostly what I'm dealing with is, you know, this dysfunctional generation that just won't commit, that has booty calls and friends with benefits, and they won't, or they take a soulmate and they destroy it. So I really felt so blessed to have experienced that. So I want you to be one of those girls that's married and with a home and, you know, and babies coming, because I know that's part of your dream, and we want to see that happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling
thank
in and
you.
Sharing your story today.
Thank you. So good to speak to you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I know it's a hot day and we don't have a lot of people wanting to speak to us today. So if you do want to speak, you can press 1. And
yes.
Nicole, did you hear my little story about those young girls that were really committed and married?
Yes,
and
I
happy?
Did.
I just couldn't believe
yep,
it. They
I
were
did.
The nicest group of, like, and I read some of their husbands, and they were all spiritual. The husbands were very spiritual, hardworking guys. One couple owned an apartment in New York City. The other ones, you know, they had homes on Long Island. But the men amazed me with their questions they asked and how they wanted to work on their spiritual self. And it was just an amazing afternoon for me. Because normally mm-hmm. people only come for readings when things are bad or they're sad or things are horrible. And one of the girls had lost her brother, so it was sad, you know, and part of
mm-hmm.
it. But within that context of that was just, wow, there's this whole underbelly of America where they are, you know, having relationships and they are committing. And funny, because a lot of these people had known each other since they were 15 or 16, they had met soulmates, which is, you know, young people know how
yeah.
to love. Soulmate, 16, people know how to love. A few of the women had had a very toxic relationship for maybe 10 years when they were younger, broke away
mm-hmm.
from that, and now were married to a soulmate. So I just found it very interesting. And so, you know, I just love that. And that makes me really happy. And
as it should.
You know,
as
it
what's
should,
actually
right?
kind of cool. But what's actually kind of cool about it, too, though, is that, like, you kind of see things coming almost full circle, you know, like we're advancing technologically so much. And back in the day, they married younger. Back in the day, you know, you were in it to win it, you know, when it came to marriage. And, you know, it didn't matter what was happening. You know, you stayed regardless. And marriages lasted a lot longer. And people really learned, you know, because divorce was just not easy back then. People really, really learned how to make things work. And sometimes for the better and sometimes not so great. But marriage did have a little bit more longevity. And then as time progressed and as technology progressed, people started getting married later in life. You know, they started waiting a little bit. And now I think it's funny that, you know, you were going back to marrying the people that knew you when you were younger. You know, we went to, from one extreme to getting married older to going back to marrying young, because people are finding, I think, that sense of idealism, you know, in their youth can be carried over if you do it that way. And I think it's really kind of cool if you think about it.
Oh, yes, and it was nice just to see. And they were the sweetest group of people, you know, like so kind and very respectful of me and to me. And I just said, oh, how wonderful it was to be with that positive energy, and
mm-hmm.
that they were happy. They were the, you know, millennials or Generation X or Y, whatever they are, because I don't know what generation, you know, that they were happy instead of being miserable, because so much of the younger generation appears to be so miserable. And
oh, yeah.
here they were actually happy. And, you know, it's been a hard couple of weeks of readings because, again, there is a very, very strong wave of overdoses of heroin right now
mm-hmm.
On Long Island, large numbers again. And, you know, some of those parents have been coming for readings of those kids. And it's really heartbreaking and heart-wrenching, the whole thing. So, and a lot of these kids are in their 20s. So I was so happy to see a group of people where they weren't involved, they didn't have addictions, and they weren't all that. And it was just wonderful
mm-hmm.
because, you know, so, it's so sad the number of parents that come here for readings who have buried their children. And
that's sad.
It's sad. And, you know, I don't
it's
know if
really
you saw
sad.
My Facebook post, but I posted a Facebook something that I found very interesting that I remember, and I looked it up, that in 1970, heroin was $30 a bag. That was a lot of money in 1970 because the minimum wage was $1.45.
Yep.
So you could imagine, you know, you have to work like 20-something hours to buy one bag of heroin, okay? It was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when 70s, you could buy it basically only in Manhattan. You couldn't really buy it in the suburbs very easily, so you'd have to go on a train to New York. And New York was such an armpit in those days, such a violent and horrible place.
Oh, yeah, there was no Disney back then. You had to stay away from 42nd Street.
And you had to stay away from practically everywhere. And because heroin was so expensive, there were so many violent crimes. They were killing people. They were cutting off your fingers to get a ring. They were, because it was so expensive, they needed to kill people or do violent crimes. And so a lot of the addicts ended up going to jail for long term because of the crimes, because of the stealing. Yeah. And so now it was like almost these evil engineers came up with how to get heroin for like $6 a bag. So nobody has to kill for it or steal for it. So people won't know about it for a while because it's so cheap. You won't even notice $12 a day missing, or they just like buying a Starbucks coffee. So who's going to notice? And so that's how it became a problem that nobody noticed. And in the 70s, the average junkie was 28 to 30 years old. Now it's average when it's a teenager. So it's so frightening. And the statistic that I found the most frightening about this was that in 1970, the heroin was 28% pure. Now it's 80 to 90% pure. So it's so addictive that you cannot get off of it. So this is why, and I realized, now I know why the evil geniuses made it cheap, and so there won't be all these crimes, so we won't think it's such a big problem because people aren't going to cut your finger off or your ring. You know, they had to do something about it in Manhattan because Manhattan became such a violent place that nobody would want to go to because of it. You just didn't want to go. You get mugged.
Yep.
You'd be mugged all the time.
Of course.
So it's one of the things that I find hardest about my job is the number of young people that are dead, and because of heroin. So let's all get the word out there. Let's talk about it. The Narcan is helping somewhat, but the kids that are dead that I've just read in the last couple of weeks, they all had been saved from Narcan a few times, and then they got too much fentanyl. There was no saving them. So Narcan helps, but if you don't get clean, it's not going to help. So, my prayer today, and I hope we all say a silent prayer, that somehow there's a solution that works here. There's something that helps because it's just frightening. And so I needed that Sunday afternoon of confirming that, there are people living healthy and happy lifestyles. You know, that was important for me to know. And I tend to see the darker end of everything, the horrible dark end.
You witness the darker end of it, that's the nature of your business. It's the nature of your job. You see the darker end, you're what you do is very, very powerful because you help others see the brighter end, but it doesn't make it any less dark for you just because you're trying to show somebody light,
Of course. And
it's
the frightening
very, very
part
actually,
about
it's
it.
Funny, it's funny that you put that out there because earlier, even today, my friend Kathy was talking about her daughter. Now, Kathy has been a single mom and, she does an amazing job raising her children. And I could always gauge that because her child, I believe, is her daughter. Her youngest is 12, but she's still a little girl. She's not 12 years old looking, to wear short shorts and to wear revealing clothing and to put makeup on and this and that and everything else, She's still a little girl at 12, which she should be. And she saw a woman in the store the other day whose gums were black and she had missing teeth and her skin had patches of red where you could tell that something that she was picking it. And Kathy was explaining her daughter's reaction to that because she never saw anybody that looked like that before. And Kathy said, that's, I'm not saying that's what it is, but chances are that person had a drug problem. That's usually what the picking means, and that's usually what the gums mean and everything else. The girl's hands were shaking a little bit. So, Kathy was kind of taking an educated guess, and she's like, and if that's not a message to you that you should not, do drugs, she's like, because that could happen to anybody. She's like, drugs are very, very powerful. That could happen to anybody. And her daughter understood. But in telling the story, I recalled that when I got my wisdom teeth pulled out, and you're talking mid-90s now, I was told to take, I got all four teeth pulled out separately. I didn't go in for the surgery. I just got them pulled out with Novocaine and just told them to rip them out
right in
my regular dentist appointment as they started breaking through. And I got a prescription for Vicodin for the pain of losing my wisdom teeth. And the Vicodin bottle said to take 1 to 2 pills per day. Do not exceed 2 pills in a 24-hour period. Okay? And take this for 5 days. So 2 pills a day times 5 days is how many pills, Cindy?
10.
Okay. So you explained to me why it is that when I filled my scripts for Vicodin in the mid-90s, why I got 30 pills for a wisdom tooth.
Right, and those 30 pills, you would
be taking 10. Oh, yeah, those 30 pills. And then don't forget, I went back 2 weeks later and got another 30 pills. And then a month after that, and got another 30 pills.
Well,
by the time I was done with all 4 of my wisdom teeth, I had 120 Vicodin.
Oh, my God. And you would have been an
addict. And you wonder why these kids, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. If I took that much, are you kidding me? You know, I mean, and people are wondering why people got hooked. Because back then they were just giving this shit away like candy. And you know what? It was okay because it was prescription, but it's not.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And
it just made it so much like the easy access is really, really what's hurting everything. Listen, there's always going to be drugs. Okay? There always was drugs.
Yeah.
There always will be drugs. Okay? Let's not be delusional and think that we can just get rid of drugs altogether. But you know what? The drugs nowadays, they are more addictive than they ever were. They are less expensive than they ever were. Okay? They are too easy to obtain. Okay?
Exactly.
Which means that people are functioning less because of their use.
Exactly. And my mission is just to educate people how much drugs are out there. I mean, and how they are and how awful they are. But the sad part about it is I've been hearing lately from parents who feel very guilty because they've suffered with this for 10 years with a child who's now in his 30s or she's in her 30s. They've been through 10
mm-hmm.
or 12 rehabs, which has cost, you know, close to $1 million, okay, and that the child continually went back to these drugs, that they stole from them, that they've overdosed so many times, that they've been in and out
mm-hmm.
of jail. For a decade, these parents' lives have been hell. They never knew what was going to happen from one day to the next. It was always drama. It was always trauma. It was always something. And when they tell me that they feel guilty because their feelings were a relief when the child died, and they feel horrible to say, why should I feel relief? And I have to tell them, because your life was hell and you knew that this child was never going to get off these drugs. And you
yep.
saw it. And you just, you gave up the illusion after 10 years that this was going to get better. And all you wanted was some peace in your life. Some feeling that this is what you always dreaded. This is the worst thing that could have happened. And now it's happened, and yet you think, well, this is what I live with fear every minute. The amount of money we spent, the amount of hell we put the kids, the other children in the family through, how much it's bankrupted the family and almost broken up the
mm-hmm.
marriage, that the normal response would be a sigh of relief. And then
yeah.
I think, sad it is. Imagine being a person who you've put everybody through so much hell because of your addiction and a culture that allows this kind of drug so cheap and available. Imagine being the kind of person that when you die, people feel relief. How sad is that?
Yeah.
How sad
it's
is
very
that?
Sad.
And I remember
it's very sad. It's a very, very harsh reality.
Being 8 years old and in third grade and seeing a lot of the fathers who were alcoholics from World War II, I didn't know that why they were so shell-shocked, but they were a lot of alcoholics. They had seen a lot during World War II. And you'd always have to worry about them, whose father cracked up the car, who drove through somebody's, you know, kitchen window with the car. And I thought to myself, I'm never going to be a grown-up or a person that anybody's going to have to worry about. I don't want them to have to worry about me. I'll always do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And with this heroin and the people starting so young at 13, 14, 15, 16, when you want to rebel against your parents, when you hate everything, you know, everybody hates everything when they're 13, it's a miserable age, okay?
Of course.
But you get hooked on this, and then you become a person that you're not you anymore. Your soul is not even in you anymore. It's hovering outside of you. It's not there. And you just become this person that will steal or rob or do whatever you can for it. But it's just a horrible thing, and I just thought, isn't it so sad that our culture has doomed so many children to be the kinds of people that just make everybody's life hell, and that their death is the sadness and a relief? That's horrible. That's just horrible.
No, it's definitely horrible. You know,
but
at the same time, no, I don't blame. I don't blame in the least people that feel relief.
And I have to tell them.
You know, and you have to look at it. Yeah, I mean, because you have to look at it like this, too. Like, if you had somebody who was sick and suffering, okay, you know, their death, as tragic as it would be, knowing that they were in daily pain, knowing that they were suffering, regardless of the age, any compassionate person is going to want to see that suffering end. You're going to want to see that person move on from that suffering, especially if nothing is working, you know, if they fought the good fight and they kept losing. And you have to realize that as much as we don't want to believe it, drug addiction is, in fact, a sickness. And there are people that are conditioned to overcome it, and there are people that just cannot. They are too weak to, okay? And you know what? At a certain point, when you have these families that are trying and trying and trying and failing, you know, more often than they're succeeding. And you have this kid, you know, be it a 15-year-old or be it a 30-year-old that just can't shake it no matter what they do. And every time they go back, it makes it worse and worse and worse. That's a type of suffering as well. So you know what? When those kids are gone, it is almost like getting them being out of their suffering, not having
and
to have this horrible,
exactly.
horrible addiction.
And one of the parents had told me that she had prayed for her child to be out of pain. Please,
yeah.
God, take her from the pain. And then she died 2 days later. And I said, well, God answered your prayer. The only way out
yeah.
of this pain for a girl who was a good girl. And these are good kids. That's what's so frightening. These were good kids that
yeah.
became taken over by this monster. And as a good person, she was tormented by her addiction, tried so hard to, didn't want to be this person, this horrible person that she became. And yet she couldn't
yes.
find her way out of it. And so
nope.
I said to the mother, well, your prayers were answered. And she is out of pain now. And she's in a good place. And she's the girl you knew before the addiction. But this
yep.
is something, please speak about it to everybody. You
oh,
know,
yeah.
shout it from the rooftops. And
absolutely.
That something has to
you know,
do.
But also educate yourselves. So many people are so blinded, thinking that they know about drugs when they don't. You know, they simply do not. You know, like and again, talking to my friend Kathy today about her daughter's experience, you know, and what her daughter witnessed, and you know, and how easily accessible these drugs were to me, you know, when I had my wisdom teeth pulled out and things like that. You know what? Educate yourselves, because you know, in Kathy's mind, oh, I can't imagine my kids ever wanting to feel like that. Well, you don't know why they would be taking them though. It's not necessarily because of the feeling that they get. You know what? Some kids will do it just because they want to be more grown up, and that's their vision. That is their vision of what being grown up is. Some kids want to do it to rebel, you know. So if you don't have open lines of communication with your kids, if you are overly judgmental of your kids, you know, or if these kids want to rebel from you in any way and do the exact opposite of what you want them to do, there's an open door for you. You know, some kids do it to escape. Some people in general do it to escape or to fit in or because they're bored even. You know, learn why these kids are turning to these to drugs. You know, learn what it is they're seeking. Are they looking to go up? Are they looking to go down? What is it? You know, and then attack those things. Don't attack the kid for wanting to do the drug. Attack the thing that's driving them to do the drug. You know, so that this way you're ending that before that addictive portion of their personality becomes hooked. You know, if it's to relieve boredom, find the kid something else to do. You know, to seem grown up, give the kid more responsibility and make them feel like they are a little bit more grown up. Treat them differently. You know what? And you'll be surprised how they respond to that. You know, if you're the kind of parent that's reining, that's holding the reins too much, have you ever seen a dog that's trying to get trained on the leash? The closer you hold that dog to you, the more he pulls away. Sometimes what you have to do is you got to let the reins go a little bit, and then the dog will walk with you. Hate to compare people to dogs, but it's true. You don't want the kid to rebel so much. Don't keep tightening the reins. Loosen them and teach him what good decision-making looks like. You know,
exactly.
I mean, these are ways that you can combat this before it becomes a problem for you.
And, again, we need to figure out where the drugs are coming from, why they're here.
Oh,
why,
absolutely.
You know, figure out who is benefiting from this, that there's so many drugs here, okay? Who's benefiting from it?
Yep.
Who's benefiting from it? And, you know, it's the saddest thing. It goes in waves again. So I'm just warning you, if you're listening out there, there's a very bad batch of heroin out there that is killing a lot of people in the last few months. So that's the scary part about it. You know, it's just horrible. It's just horrible. Well, we do have some callers. I think we have, that might be Pat there, who calls in from time to time, the 0312. See what she has to say for us.
Awesome.
What's on her mind tonight?
All right, then. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi. How are the guys doing? I heard
good.
Everything you said.
But I know. And isn't it horrible? What we're talking. It's horrible.
It is very horrible. I heard many years ago, though, that who really started the drugs was the two sergeants from the Army brought that junk in.
Wow.
I don't know how true that is, but that was going around years ago when we first started with drugs. They brought it from, I think it was Vietnam, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And they started to sell it and make money on it, and it just started to take off from there.
And now it's just a very astronomical problem. And probably it's probably one out of every four readings I'm doing lately, parents or young people are here to talk to people who've died from overdoses. So it's like, it's not supposed to be. I'm supposed to talk about, you know, people's mothers and grandmothers that were old when they died, you know. It's not supposed to be this young people, you know, over and over again. And that's the horrible part about it. So it's been a very, very hard few weeks for me in terms of the number of it. So I had to bring out that message tonight. Ding, ding, ding. These are all kids that have died in the last 2 or 3 months. So
today, you know, they push you on, take it, and the kids are afraid to be, you know, they don't want to be out of the group, they want to be in the group, so boom, they'll do it and they'll take it. They're pulled by the nose to do it or bullied into doing it.
Exactly.
They want to be on the in crowd, so that's terrible.
You're sounding a little muffled. Are you on a speakerphone or something?
No.
Okay,
I have my Bluetooth on. I'm going to take my Bluetooth off.
Yeah, because it's a little bit, sounds like you're in a, like, almost a like tunnel or far away.
Okay, I'm going to shut it off. Hold on.
Okay, so we can hear you clearly.
How's that better?
Yeah, that's better. So anyway, there must be something on your mind. I know you and Grace had broken up your long-term relationship. Are you guys back now?
We're talking. It's still not, you know, it's not the best thing, but we've been talking. And she said that she did talk to Alexander about that stuff. And I told him, no, you didn't. You didn't say anything while I was there. We've just been talking, you know, back and forth, and it's a little strained yet, but I don't know. I don't know what to do. I just told her, well, she tells me she loves me, but I said, oh, I don't think you do. So I don't know if she does. That's what I want to know. I want to know if she does love me. And her mother is a big part of the problem.
Yeah, well, of course. Her mother doesn't want her to have a soulmate. And, Grace loves you, but she's always been under the, like, you know, domination of her mother. She's economically dependent on her mother, which is, you know, like, I would have to tell Grace at this point, you can't have your freedom unless you get economically free from your parents. I mean, you know, if she's living in a home that's, you know, sort of her mother's or her mother's paying for a lot of the bills, even though she's a grown woman, she has to listen to her. You know, I mean, her mother owns her. So, you know, Grace getting a job, I mean, I'm always telling, like, the young people, they're in their 30s or whatever, and they tell me their parents are always telling what to do. I said, well, who the hell told you to still live home at 30? Get out of there. You know, yeah. Your parents have a right to tell you what to do if you're living and mooching off of them. So don't – she has to get out from under her mother, but how is she going to get out from under her mother unless she gets a full-time job? And I don't see she's gotten a full-time job here yet.
No, she keeps trying. She keeps putting in the things, and nobody gets back to her. It's just a terrible situation. It's not that she's not trying. She's trying, but I don't know. Maybe because she's 59 years old, they don't want to be bothered with her. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's let's talk about ageism in America, okay? There is ageism. And more people should be suing because of this because it's not right. You get over a certain age, nobody wants to hire you. They don't want to hire you because they don't want to pay you a living wage, okay? So it is harder to get one. But also, she's been out of the full-time workforce for a while, too. So the longer she stayed out of it, the more it's starting to hurt her.
Yeah, and because she's part-time now with your school crossing guard.
Right, and she's also comfortable with that part-time job right now.
Yeah, I know. I know that.
Yeah, she's a lot of time off. You know, and what I could see is she's got to get a full-time job that would help somewhat. You know, she can't say anything to her mother. You know, her mother owns her. How old is her mom now?
77, I think, 78, something like that.
Yeah, well, she's an unfixable. She's a narcissist who judges others. She could live to be 110. Those people don't die. Don't count on her dying. These people just don't die.
She had I talked to her, so she had some big fight with her yesterday. She told her mother off like she never told her off before. I was so proud of her that she finally did that. She took, I finally had enough. I've had enough of this, she said to me.
Good.
She told me what she was doing. So a lot of crap
was
going on.
She doesn't have you there to diffuse the situation with her mother. So, you know, you needed to back off and let her see who her mother is. Let her stand up to her mother when you're not there because the mother was always blaming everything on you.
Yeah, I know.
So now you're not in the picture all the time, and this is Grace rebelling, and that's important. But she does love you. You know, are you going to go see her soon?
Actually, it was my my niece's baby. We had a baby. It was a birthday on the 10th. And I was going to go upstate, but she couldn't go with Alexandra because they had something doing with the people in Jersey. Her cousin was coming for the mother for some party. So otherwise, I would have saw her then. But I did see her after I came back. I brought her some sheets because some of the sheets that were on the bed, they were kind of ripped. So I brought her some sheets from here, some brand new sheets I have. So I saw her a little bit on Sunday.
All right, because just hang in there. You did need a timeout. You know, it doesn't
mean
it's over with people. But love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. She wasn't fully putting her 2 feet in because of her mother, because of putting her, Alexandra first, which I can't stress enough that soulmates come first, children come second, okay? But she's always put Alexandra first above you. So you need to take 2 feet out and give her time to see if she misses you.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, and I do see she misses you, and even Alexandra misses you. And she, that's the funny part about it. Cause
she's the reason why I left, was with her mouth going on and on and on and on, saying I took this and I took that. I did not. And just a big thing that night. It was just a terrible night. So why don't you pack your stuff and go home? I said, okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Goodbye.
But what happened is now she realized her mom's not happy. She sees her mom not happy. So, you know, just be back. Maybe if you could just not necessarily see her in that home environment, go out somewhere together, you know, go out for dinner, not to be expensive, Applebee's, something where you just get to be alone a little bit and see if you can reconnect with each other.
Well, I told her this today. I said, why don't you just come? Because she was very, very extremely tired, and she didn't look good at all when I saw her. She didn't look good. I don't like the way she looks. And she's got a she told me when she went to the doctor that they told her they saw a tumor on her kidney. She has to have that taken care of. And on her bladder, she had to have some stuff done. So she's going to go in for that on the 28th of this month.
Well, why am I not
surprised?
She's not, she's not getting angry. She's growing tumors at this point. You know what I mean? She's been shoving all that anger down. That's why today she finally blew up.
Mm-hmm.
She finally had to blow up. She's been shutting up. It's not a good recipe for your health to shut up all the time. Yeah, you realize
I found that out too.
I mean, it's not good. I mean, you know, you've had cancer. You get cancer, you grow tumors if you don't express things. So, you know, she really, you know, this illness is a wake-up call for her that she hasn't been living the healthiest of lifestyles. And, you know, and that she, you know, her mom has been too stressing her out. And so, you know, I'm really glad that, you know, you took that time out. And now you were looking to rent your apartment, I remember. Did you rent
this year? No, they don't want to give me a hard time with that. They don't want anybody in here. You have to go through the town. You have to do this. They don't want anybody. It's just a mess. But in the meantime, I had my condo that's in Florida. I had that rented to, oh, she was fantastic. She just told me now, that's the reason why I'm really calling. She called me now that she was going to be leaving. She's going to go to California. So my condo now in Florida is going to be empty. I don't know now if I should sell it or if I should try to rent it again. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Well,
that's what I wanted to know.
It looks like, have you checked out the price to sell it?
Yeah, I've been looking around to sell it. It's more than what it was years ago, yes.
That's why I said you held on to it. If you had tried to sell it like 3 years ago, you would have gotten nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good time to sell it because a lot of responsibility keeping it. And you could have that cash for you yourself at this point.
Yeah, because I still have to get out of debt. I still have a lot of debt to get take care of. And I'm like just above, I'm so much above level, just above the water a little bit. That's why I can't even make an appointment to pay to come and see you in person. I don't have the extra money. You know,
well,
being having a cancer,
well,
two times I'm paying.
Why do you think we have the call-in show? So if you're broke, you know, you can still get some advice. But it does look, to me, it looks like selling it would be a good option for you.
Selling it? Yeah, okay.
Selling.
How long do you think it would take for me to sell it?
Doesn't look like it'll take long. You know,
okay.
A few months at the tops. So that would then take a lot of strain off of you financially as you paid off a lot of your debt.
Yes. And also, there's a piece of land that my mom and I had together. I'm going to try to sell that too.
Yeah, and it looks like that will sell too. Your mom is actually in the room right now, telling you sell, sell, sell. So, you know, she was like, "Thank you for picking up the phone with my daughter. I want her to sell that condo, put that money, pay off your debt, and then keep the rest of that money tight for you." And she said the land should sell too.
Okay.
You know,
so I should sell the condo. Okay.
Yeah, she says it's time.
Time to sell it. All right.
Time to sell it. You know, you held it, you know, I remember you asked me a few years back about it, and I remember telling you it wasn't a good time. Cause
yeah.
You, went
that,
to, you remember that? I told you it wasn't a good time.
Yes, and that's when I rented it to this Layla. Oh, my God, she's a doll. She is so clean. So she takes care of everything just perfect. And I don't have to worry about my house being destroyed or anything. She takes care of everything. She's beautiful. And she was right on time with the money. I never had to worry about her.
Right. I remember when we talked about you renting, and it looked very good. Now I'm seeing it would be too stressful for you to keep it, okay, because you'd have to, you know, worry about it too much. So, you know, put it up for sale.
I don't even have the money to pay the taxes on it. That's and it would do last month. I don't have the money for that yet.
That's
either.
So that's why you have. If you sell it, you know, you'll get some cash and some money.
Yeah, it's
so.
55 and over. So it's you know, in Century Village, in West Palm Beach.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you called in and we got to speak to you and keep
thank
us
you.
Posted. About the end of our show.
Okay.
Thank you
for very much for taking the call.
Oh, you're welcome. We always like to hear from you. Good luck to you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Nicole.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So I'm glad that we didn't have as many callers as usual because I really felt today we had to talk about what we talked about a little bit. Use the show as a little vehicle to educate people about what's going on in the world. And, you know, because oftentimes people don't call in here with that because it's a public, you know, thing and they don't really want that. You know, they just don't want to air their dirty laundry to the world necessarily. So we haven't had people calling in with this problem, but it is something that I deal with all the time, you know, in my private readings. That's why I said, let's just share that tonight. And so I'm so glad we had our show today. And I'm glad, It looked like people, it looks like I got emails from people. I'm sorry, it's a beautiful day. I was out, we're eating out, but I'll listen in the archives. If you're outside and enjoying the day,
that's
how
people apologize for missing the show.
Isn't that funny?
That's adorable.
And I'm like, don't worry. You know me. If you're outdoors enjoying, you just listen to the archives. That's why. You can listen to us live. You can listen to the archives. Just listen.
Yeah.
We don't care when you listen. And
exactly.
You know,
as long as the message gets out there, it's all right. It doesn't have to be live.
Right, exactly. Well, you get some rest, my darling, because, your spirit guide told me you're a little tired today. So get some rest. Are you feeling a little tired?
Yeah, I'm tired.
All right, so go to sleep a little early tonight. Go to sleep a little early.
I will attempt to do this.
Well, good night, everybody, and thanks for listening to our show, and thanks for calling in.
Good night, Cindy.
Good night, everybody. Bye.